Welcome to the Buy Box Bandits podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Buy Box Bandits podcast. Today we have Donatello from Melanated FBA joining us. We're super excited to talk about how he did 1.7 mil in 2022 with wholesale and OA, now transitioning to mainly just wholesale and everything. But thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here. Nice to be here.
What's going on, man?
This is like a full circle moment, because I used to listen to, like, I've listened to you guys since like the first episode.
Sweet. Well, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're one of the most funny presences on the timeline Amazon wise. So it's exciting to chop it up with everything, but all that. But you want to kind of give us your background story, how you got into all this?
Basically, like, during college, I was just jumping around from job to job. I was like ice cream parlor, go-kart track. And then I was like, damn, I need to start getting into a career. So then I tried real estate, and then I got fired. I was like continuously getting fired, like, from my job. And I was like, damn, I can't keep a job. So, like, I got to figure out how to make money on my own. And then I typed it on Google, how to make money from home. And then there was like a thread, and first one was start Amazon. So then that's how I got into it, really.
So this really, like, the first way you've ever independently made money is this?
No, I was selling. I started selling bongs. I used to buy bongs from like Alibaba, and then I would sell them to the kids on my campus. But it wasn't like enough money to live off. So then I gave up on it. And then I started selling like glasses that I bought from Alibaba, gave up on it. And then I found Amazon, and then Amazon was like the first one where, like, I wasn't making money in the beginning, but like the proof of concept was there. It was like, this is where like my money can grow really fast.
But so we have tons of listeners that either listen to us and have never started, or listen to us or kind of halfway in. What was it at that point that really dragged you in, that you were like, all right, this is something that I'm going to try, and this is something that can potentially be life changing? And there's some, we talked to tons of people day in and day out who are itching to get started, but don't make that leap. So what was it for you?
Well, funny thing is, I had a very like interesting start to Amazon. So I actually started Amazon in 2019, the year before COVID. I was doing RA, but I don't even think I was doing RA, right? I was doing RA, not even making money. And I had a friend who has like a wholesale company, and he was like selling CBD, like these CBD gummies. And he was like, bro, can you put these on Amazon? And I'm like, I don't think you can sell CBD on Amazon, bro. And he was like, bro, just try. So I ended up making a CBD listing, not knowing you can't sell CBD on Amazon. And like my first week, I made like maybe like 40,000 in sales first week.
Ooh.
And it was like crazy. Like, it was, we were getting so much orders. Like, he didn't even have enough supply for everything. So we had to go like to the big wholesaler down in Miami and grab a bunch of stuff. I probably made like 70K profit in like 3 months the first time I went on Amazon. And then the listings got removed, and then we realized you can't sell CBD on Amazon. And then after that happened, like, then I stopped doing it. Like, I didn't know what to do, because I didn't have like RA wasn't as much money. I couldn't sell CBD anymore. So then I took a break from Amazon. My dad bought a 7-Eleven, and he had me working for him at a 7-Eleven. And I hated it. I worked there for a year, and it was like absolute hell. And there was like one day I couldn't take it anymore. I just told him I quit. I didn't show up to work. And I was like, I'm going to try Amazon one more time. And then that's when I found not Flip for Miles, Fuels of Profit. Yeah. I found Fuels of Profit on YouTube. And I remember he made a video on why OA is better than RA. And I was like, bet, I'm just doing OA from now on. Uh-huh. And then I started doing OA, and then made my way up 40K, 50K. And then around 60K, he made like a collab video with you. And that's how I found out who you were. And then like the first video I ever watched from you, you were like, you need to make a Twitter. And I made a Twitter that day.
Damn, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And then that's basically how I got into like the Twitter space and stuff.
So what did that come up on online arbitrage look like?
In
terms of where you were looking, what sorts of products you're buying, how you were sourcing?
In the beginning, I strictly sourced almost only Vitacost in the beginning because that's what Warren said. That's what he said to do. He was like, I was mostly sourcing Vitacost, Walgreens, Ulta. And to be honest, like from those three websites, I made it to 100K just from like three websites on
Obey. Yeah. And because you got good at them, like you learned how to get around order cancels if there were order cancels. You weren't afraid to buy big quantities of stuff.
Yeah.
And everything, which is beautiful.
Miles, this man just follows directions. It's all
I even got an email.
It works, man. It works.
Like, Fuels of Profit was like, he made a video once and he was like, the big leap he had in his business is when he got an Amex. And I was like, bet. I applied for Amex that same day.
Yeah.
Did you get the Plum?
Helpful, man.
Yeah.
Plum Amex or what Amex?
It was Amex Gold. They gave me like 25K to start. And then I just kept maxing it out, paying it off. Then they gave me 50K, maxing out, paid off. Then gave me 100K. And then then you really see how you can make a lot of money when you have like credit to spend, you know?
Yeah, because it's a repeatable process. You know, you get it down where, you know, you have a really high hit rate in terms of an ASIN ending up being good with everything. And the whole time was this prepping yourself. prep centers, I know we'll get into how you prep now. It's very unique.
I was mostly I was solely prepping myself for a year. I was doing OA for a year and a cut and some change, just prepping myself. And at first it was manageable. And then it gets to a point where I had like 200, 300 boxes in my garage and I was prepping so much, I didn't have time to source anymore.
Exactly. And
it became a huge bottleneck. So I sat down and I was like, damn, what do I do? Because I was really anti-prep center because the fact of paying $1.50 out of my profits back then just seemed so crazy. Like I didn't want to do it. And then eventually, maybe in August of last year, a prep center DM'd me on Twitter and they were like, we'll charge you $1 we'll charge you $1 a single pack. And I was like, damn, okay, I'll give it a try. And then I started sending my inventory to a prep center. And then that's when I finally hit 100K because I had time to source again.
Is that a one in Florida?
No, it was one in Georgia.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to Miami conference?
There's a Miami conference. I was unaware of it.
Oh, okay. So we're doing you're really in the loop to not know about that. Yeah, dude, in 3 weeks. Yeah, you better come then. Yeah.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So, sweet. So, and anyone listening, if you're in that South Florida area too, MiamiSellersConference.com, we'll be speaking there. Yeah. All of our friends, dude, it's going to be popping.
Hold on, Miles, before we move on. In terms of using that credit card early, how did you manage that cash flow? Because that's something that a lot of beginners struggle with in terms of how much to spend, when to cut it off, how to know that you're going to be able to pay off the credit card. How'd you manage all that?
You kind of get a feel for how much cash flow you make over time. But in the beginning, it wasn't like I was maxing it out instantly. It was still in the beginning, it was still kind of a struggle to find products. So I wasn't maxing it out in one day. I find when you spend a little every day, your cash flow balances out to where at the end of your statement, you're able to still pay it off in full while spending.
Yeah, assuming you're buying stuff that moves, you know, repricing and everything. Okay, drop some Vitacost sauce and Walgreens.
Vitacost, oh, wow.
Assuming you're not doing a lot of that anymore.
So Vitacost, they have a sale almost every other day. It's either 10%, 15%, 30% on a certain category. So you wait to see those big sales and then you get top cashback, not Rakuten, top cashback.
Not Rakuten, top cashback is better.
Top cashback usually almost gives you more percentage from what I've seen. And then if you want to factor in the 1% or 2% that you're going to get on your credit card, you add it on top of that.
Yeah.
Then Vitacost will have coupons usually on top of their sales. And so you can stack. sometimes get like 40%, 45% off a product.
Ah, and that, you know, that might only be for a couple of days and everything. So you got a lot of competitive advantage in there. Yeah, I'm checking that right now. Top cashback's 9% on there.
Yeah.
It's a sale on food.
Oh, that's wild.
15% off 40. And there's like some other stuff going on there too. So that's the sauce, and you can do big orders on there too.
Yeah. Vitacos doesn't cancel ever.
That's love. Okay. So they got the sauce. And what made you want to go into wholesale?
Because I didn't set a foundation up for OA like I should have. Because there's like a certain point where I couldn't source enough for the money I had to spend. I had more money than I could spend because I didn't get a VA. And I feel like if you do OA and you want to keep doing it for a long time, you need to get a VA because you need someone to help you source, because you can source 10 hours a day, but it's tiring sourcing 10 hours a day,
yeah,
7 days a week. And I if I had got a VA earlier, I know I'd still be doing OA because it would have been easier to spend money.
Got you.
And then, it was a better transition though, getting to wholesale.
Yeah, because I was already familiar with Amazon, so it wasn't like I was starting from scratch. I feel like you should start with OA first, to be honest, because wholesale is like, it's easier if you have money to spend. If you don't have like a decent amount of capital to spend, wholesale can be kind of difficult because wholesalers don't like small purchases.
Yeah, and you got to be so much more serious to be calling people and stuff, and to the point where you're probably not going to be that serious if you don't already have the proof of concept of online arbitrage.
Yeah. And like, it's usually like if they find out you're an Amazon seller, a lot of the times they're turned off instantly. So when they do find out, you have to know how you can provide them value and why being an Amazon seller is not like for their business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's like, how do you go about like, you know, showing that you can be of value to them? Cause that's a big thing a lot of beginners are worried about.
Personally, what I found is, if you don't have a lot of money, if you can just prove to them, you will purchase from them consistently. Right. Because you have to think about it in their perspective. Like when they take on a new client that's spending money, they have to buy more inventory to be able to like please all their customers. So if you spend like 10,000 on your first order and then you spend 10,000 the next week, he's going to start accounting his inventory. Okay, I need to have at least 10,000 of inventory for this guy who spends 10,000 a week. And then if you just stop randomly, then now he's sitting on extra inventory that he accounted for that you didn't buy anything. So it's kind of like giving them that peace of mind that you're going to consistently buy from them at a consistent rate, just so you don't like hurt their business, you know?
Yeah, because speaking on the commitment side of things, if you just DM them like, hey, you know, what's the least amount I can buy?
Right? Yeah.
And I'm selling Amazon. They're thinking, okay, this guy's like, you know, in his living room, he just started. He's probably not going to be a good long-term customer. He's going to have some of the issues our other previous Amazon seller people have, but it's showing that you're different. It's differentiating yourself. It's having spending power and being willing to, you know, having the confidence to deploy, which is why it makes sense to start with arbitrage in many cases too, right? That, yeah. What did that transition look like? And what was the timeline? And that, when did you start wholesale? And when did it get to the point where you were majority and eventually, you know, 99%?
So it happened. The reason why I stopped OA actually is because I started wholesale in September because, remember I told you I sourced from like three sites mainly. It was Walgreens, Ulta, Vitacost, and that was pretty much it. There was probably a few other in there, but those are the main ones. My Ulta account got banned because I think after you spend like $100,000 in a year, at least that's what I think. Like they won't let you purchase orders online anymore. Like they just put every time I would try to submit an order, it wouldn't go through. And then Vitacost didn't have like a good, for some reason, they didn't have good sales for like a week or two. So I couldn't spend on that website. And then Walgreens, you can only order three times on one account. And then I used to make a second account, but then my IP address is linked to that one and they found out I was doing it. So I could only order three times a day. So I wasn't able to spend enough money, and I knew trying to find new websites was going to take too long. I tried getting leads lists, and then that's a terrible idea because the product always tanks. And then I thought about getting a VA But for me to train, the time it would take for me to train a VA to source how I want them to source, it would take too long. So just one day I was like, okay, I'm quitting cold turkey and I'm going to start wholesale. So I bought a course. I don't know if you guys know 1UP FBA.
Yeah. Interesting story. So we had him on the podcast on Friday, and he told us on the podcast that he's going to Miami Solish Conf as well.
Oh, I got to see him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I was following 1UP FBA on Instagram, and I never even watched his stories, really. I just follow Amazon people on Instagram. I knew he did wholesale, so I was like, I'm just going to buy his course. He posts good screenshots. I'm buying his course and seeing what I bought his course, and it shows you how to source wholesale suppliers. So I spent 2 weeks straight after I finished the course. 2 weeks straight, I didn't buy a single OA. I didn't buy a single piece of OA, but I still had inventory that I bought previously that was still selling and going to my prep center. So it wasn't like I was making any sales. I spent 2 weeks looking for suppliers, and I didn't find my first supplier for 2 weeks, because you find when you do wholesale, a lot of them only take ACH and wire, and my only source of money was my Amex. So it took me 2 weeks to find a supplier who would let me purchase with my Amex. And then once you find one supplier, it just, for some reason, once you find the first one, the second one becomes easier to find, and the third one. And then you start to learn the lingo as you talk with your sales rep, the words like they like to hear. So when you go to the next one, use that same terminology, and then they start to think you're professional for some reason.
And so how quickly after you found that first one was that first order placed? And how'd you go and process all the information that they provided?
My first wholesale supplier, they had like an Excel spreadsheet with like UPC codes. And I was using Tactical Arbitrage at the time. So they have like a little scanner you can plug everything into. And there was maybe like 5 or 6 profitable products that sold a decent time a month. And I think my first ever PO was like $12,000. And then my supplier on Twitter. That's why I'm very glad I watched that video by you, Miles, because Twitter is like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a bunch of anonymous accounts listening to us that are tweeting about sports, like that DM people and wonder why they're not getting responses. You know, yeah. Like if people can, and obviously I respond to DMs, you know, I assume you guys do too, but like you just get a better answer when you exist and people can see you're doing it right. And it costs $0. And still so many of you guys listening don't do it because you've only ever used social media to impress people from high school.
Yes. Yes. And when you like have like a presence on, having a presence on social media is very advantageous. I didn't realize it until recently. Like it's very advantageous. Like now it's to the point where like suppliers will DM me now.
Yeah. You know, it's like not a lot of work, you know, like you'll put out, you know, I'm looking at your thing. You'll put out like one or two a day, just like a random thought about what you're doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like a random thought up or something, you know?
Cause I'm not taking the education route. I just like tweeting. But even just tweeting about Amazon, you find that people still engage and,
of course. Yeah, of course. You know, it's like, you know, checking times. And this is all stuff that everyone thinks, but so many people just like won't put out there, you know, and
it starts
to attract like your ideal comrade, your ideal friend. Yeah. You know, figure out, you know, people like, I know you're pretty close with like Devin, KT, those guys, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Right. And, you know, we all get better through the shared, you know, transfer of knowledge and everything, because I mean, you're not going to find it in person, most likely. Yeah, it's like a lot harder. You know, most of the people, you know, that you talk to about it in person, like, oh, like, that's not going to work, or that's not going to work long term, or all the things society's drilled into them to justify decades of doing stuff that they don't want to and everything. And this is all possible. You guys listen to this. You know this. This is possible. But you got to drill it into yourself. I was tweeting about that this morning and everything. Okay, so you really did it cold turkey. Do you think other people going from OA to wholesale should do that cold turkey transition?
Do not do it. It's a terrible idea financially. But I was dead set on making it work. So like that was like my last, because if I couldn't do wholesale, I wasn't going to stop doing Amazon just because OA didn't work out for me. So I was like, wholesale is my last straw. So I just did it cold turkey and I was like, I'm going to make this work. But like, that's not a smart idea though. Don't just go cold turkey. Ease your way. If you're going to try to make a transition, ease your way into wholesale. Don't stop purchasing OA completely.
That's the problem though, because the next OA product is always going to be easier to find than picking up the phone call. Oh, and, I think we lost. Oh.
We lost the audio for a sec. Yeah.
We got you. Yep, you're
I'm back.
Finding the next OA product on sites you're very, very comfortable with is always going to be easier than picking up that phone.
That's true. And picking up when I first started calling people, I don't know why, but I was very scared. Like, I was nervous as hell to call buyers and stuff. And for reasons I shouldn't have been, because they probably get thousands of phone calls a day. But when you first start, it's going to be intimidating just because you don't really know what to say. And you're going to say dumb stuff like your first couple of calls, but you learn from saying the dumb stuff not to say it again and what they want to hear. So it's kind of just like getting over the fear, because you'll honestly get more accounts open calling them, because a lot of your emails go to their junk folder and they don't even realize like half of their emails are going to the junk folder. So you have to call and call and call and call. And that's how you like get a higher
success. Do you send emails and then follow up with a phone call, or just call just off the bat?
Oh no, I send emails. I go on my Excel sheet and I'll fill it up until I get to 100 suppliers, and then I'll email all of them. And then the ones that don't email me back, I put need to call, and then I call them.
That makes sense. Yeah, and if someone says no, you follow up a month or two later?
If someone said, it depends why they say no. I ask them. And if sometimes they say we're not taking on new clients at a moment, so then I follow up and I say, okay, follow up with them in 1 to 2 months, see if they're taking new people. If they say they don't want Amazon sellers, I follow up in like 5 months, 5 to 6 months, and then I'm going to say I'm not an Amazon seller. And then see if I can open an account that way, saying, oh, I'm just like a distributor. I have a warehouse somewhere, and I'll just use like a prep center commercial address as my warehouse.
So you're mainly going distributor method?
Yeah, mostly distributor. I don't do any brand direct, because distributors are like the easiest way to start.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. We've been talking a ton of wholesale lately, and everyone's saying just get your foot in the door distributor wise, because there's a much higher chance of a distributor being good, just because they're going to have so many different products.
And you only need a couple of distributors. You don't need like OA, it's nice to have. If you have like 10 sites you source from, then like you're golden. But wholesale, sometimes you only need 2 or 3 distributors because they have enough product for you to keep buying over and over and over again. So it's really just about finding 2, 3, 4, 5 good ones and then spending with them. And then as you spend with them, they start giving you discounts. So you start making more money for buying the same stuff you've been buying for 4 or 5 months.
And what would you say your success rate is, or conversion rate is, in terms of reaching out as opposed to profitability? Is it 1 in 100, 1 in 500, 1 in 50?
Ray, repeat that question again, as in opening an account?
Yeah.
Now my success rate is pretty high. It might be... It might be like 50% now, but it's only because as you source for suppliers longer, you can usually tell which ones are going to open an account with you. Before, any wholesale supplier, I would just put on my list and call them up. But as you source longer, you can, just by the way a lot of websites are structured, you can almost tell instantly if they're going to say yes or no, just by like how they have their website structured.
And then in relation to how many accounts you open up, what's the percentage of profitability accounts?
Also like 50% now, because I consider even if they have 1 profitable or 2 profitable products, that's like a success to me.
Yeah, because over time, you know, ideally get more discounts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, how are you repricing?
I started using BeCool. And BeCool is a great repricer, but it's not the best repricer. It's good in the beginning because it's cheap. It's like $50. But I found that BeCool low-key likes to tank like your it likes to tank your price. Like if you set your minimum to $10, it'll automatically just shoot it down to $10 just because you put $10 as your minimum. Now I use Seller Snap.
That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Yeah, it's more expensive, but it's $500 a month. But I find that it reprices way smarter. Like it'll actually raise your price instead of lowering it. If everybody's tanking the price, Seller Snap, the way the AI works, they can stop listings from tanking and bring everybody's repricer up with you sometimes. So it's a pretty good repricer. If you have the money for it, it'll increase your sales within like the first 1 month. First week, you'll see an increase in sales and you'll be like, yeah, this is worth it.
And then how are you sourcing your suppliers? Is it just Google?
I'm gonna give you guys sauce on here. Google is a good thing. How I source suppliers on Google, I literally just go state by state. I'll make it specific. I'll be like electronic wholesale distribution or grocery distributors, and I go on Google, I go on the maps, and I just scroll up on the map county by county for each state, and it'll just show you all the distributors for that niche in this section of the county. You scroll up a bit, that part of the county, scroll up. It takes a long time, but it works. And then Wholesale Central has a couple good ones on there. Instagram, there's a lot of distributors and suppliers on Instagram. They're like kind of hard to find, but once you set your algorithm to start looking for wholesalers, like they'll just start popping up on your explore page, or like you'll usually see ads for them sometimes. And Smart Scout's really good too.
Sounds good. Right out right there. What are some other big mistakes you made when you were growing or just starting that you think others should avoid?
Reading Keepa charts, purchasing optimistically.
As a mistake or something you should have done more of?
As a mistake.
Okay.
Like,
you should have picked up something that was suggesting maybe the product isn't so good and you bought it and it tanked.
Yeah, like, so let me see if I can give a good example. If the price is selling, sometimes there'll be a price increase on Keepa, but over the course of like 3 months, 4 or 5 months, the price was lower. But just because I saw that the price raised for the past like month, I would buy the product. And then as soon as it checks in, it'll tank and it'd go back to the price that it was selling for like the past 4, 5, 6 months. Or I'd overbuy on a product and then it would get saturated. Then I'd have to liquidate and then lose money on it. And then also overpurchasing, because when you overpurchase, you with these checking times now, if you're spending too much, your products aren't going to sell fast enough to pay back your credit card statement. So you kind of have to buy at like a slower speed so you have enough cash flow to pay off your statements.
Okay. And so you have a unique way of getting product to Amazon that a lot of people want, but very few people end up getting. You want to explain what that is and how you end up finagling it with the suppliers?
Oh, sending it directly to...
I know. For people listening, I know the gurus on Instagram told you the supplier will just send it to Amazon for you. That's not how it works in many, many cases. But Donatello has it set up that way.
Not every supplier will do it for you, but if you beg some of them hard enough, they will do it for you. It's kind of just leverage. In my case, I spend a lot of money with suppliers now, so they'll kind of do a favor. Like when your pockets are deeper, they'll start to do favors for you. Like I've had a supplier who didn't even know how to make an Amazon shipment, and like I taught them how to do it over the phone. I was like, okay, I'm going to send you these labels. You put these labels on the carton, and then you're gonna wrap the pallet, and then you put these labels on the outside of the pallet, and then I'm gonna have an Amazon truck come to the warehouse and pick it up for you. It's really about relations. Like your sales rep has to like you. So if you get your sales rep to like you, they will start doing you favors, like giving you $5 off an MLK thing, you know. So it's really just about spend. The thing with wholesale is to spend money. keep spending money. Keep spending money with the same suppliers, and they're going to start to favor you, do you favors, give you discounts. And that's because that's the only value you can really supply to a supplier is money. So the more you give them, the more they're going to like you.
Got you. What else can we jam on? Twitter banter, Amazon wholesale, all that kind of stuff. Okay, what's your bottlenecks right now?
Right now is the best bottleneck to have for me, and that's just cash. I'm working on just finding more money. My business just hit 2 years this year, so I have 2 years of tax returns. So now I can finally get a loan from a bank. So I'm gonna go to Bank of America, Chase, credit unions, and just beg and see who will give me a nice little loan to spend money.
Have you not gotten one from Amazon? Have you not gotten one from Amazon, or the interest is too high?
Oh, no, I've got one from Amazon, but blew through it already.
that's what's up.
I can hear it talking to you that you just love buying product. I love buying product as well.
That's what I do all day. That's literally, I just like to buy.
Any VAs that help out with anything, or is it just you?
I am a solopreneur. I don't have any VAs, but I know as I scale that I'm going to have to get one just to like make my life easier. So I'll probably talk to you and find out like where you even get VAs. I don't even know where you get a VA from.
Yeah, online jobs, PH. And you obviously you're super well connected. You could probably just tweet and there'd be some that would hit you up. I would actually start there.
Oh, Twitter?
Yeah, because if any VAs are on Twitter, they know stuff well because they've been following all of us.
But I don't know about those Twitter VAs because I see you guys post that like they're working for 10 of you guys and then giving you guys products. Well,
I mean, all right, then just don't trust yourself and never do it and keep. You only need one, man. You only need one. I mean, if it's OA leads, it's obviously different. But there's commission structures and using, you know, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. The advantage you would have is not everyone can call your sales rep and order the products that you are.
Yeah.
Right. You have that moat around your business with the wholesale. Right. Yep. So you have to go through sales reps. You have to get specific discounts. You have to talk to specific people to kind of get to the state to the level that you're at that most Twitter people aren't going to be able to do right off the bat.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be just it doesn't have to be sourcing. You know, it could be data organization or, you know, repricing or, you know, a whole bunch of stuff and everything. It makes sense to look into. I was anti it for a while as well on the sourcing side, just got one recently. Really helpful. And then I've had a content VA for like a year that's been really helpful as well on that.
I was wanting to ask you now, do you even still source like yourself now, or just have
a little bit? It's like a lot of like with Garrett and friends though. So that's like kind of social setting, you know, so where it's like not like actually, because if you're a beginner, you got to like sit down and do that shit, you know what I mean? And like feels like work sometimes. It feels like work when you're not good.
Yeah.
And then it gets really easy once you're good, but most people don't go through that initial process and they hide at an anonymous Twitter account and they're never talked to anyone. And then, of course it's a lot harder for you than us, where we talk to other Amazon people every day. We have guys in our corner that mess with us that do Amazon, you know, and it just makes it way easier and everything and a lot more fun and all that, less time. Yeah.
You'll find people will even DM you. Like I remember when I first made my Twitter, like people would DM me asking if like they want to make a sourcing group or something like that, or where like you can give your lead and they'll give you like your leads and stuff. So people are really friendly in the space. That's like one of the more friendlier Twitter spaces, the Amazon community. There's not a lot of like bad people in there. So people are willing to help you out.
Yeah, of course. And like, cause we're all on there for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I can't find anyone to talk to about this in person. So I have to go online. You know, ideally it'd be in person, but it doesn't exist. Like that. And okay, for the BBB listener, last thing, who hasn't gotten their first wholesale account but wants to this week, what's the playbook? Maximum work required.
Maximum work.
whatever would be best.
I'm gonna say this because I know it's a fact and it's almost impossible. If you spend 1 week, just 7 days, looking for wholesale suppliers. For 8 hours. 8 hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is almost impossible, that you won't find.
Completely impossible.
It's impossible you won't find at least two good ones. And those two good ones might be the only ones you need for the rest of the year.
Yeah, a lot of you guys that do distributors only have a couple of them. Yeah, you guys, I don't know how many. I assume it's less than 10, though, right?
Less than 10.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, if it's each of those are 20 grand of inventory a month and there's nine of them, then that's 360 grand a month of sales, you know, or a little bit more of that, depending on the margin. That's really good stuff. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at MelanatedFBA.
Sweet. All right. Go follow him. Thanks for chopping it up, man. And you got to go to MiamiSellersConference.com.
I'm glad you told me about that. I'm coming. Do I need tickets?
So yeah. MiamiSellersConference.com. Yeah. So our guys, Avery and Taylor are hosting it. And then like a ton of people, you'll see it on the website. Like pretty much everyone's going basically. So it's going to be a good time for sure.
I'll see you guys in 2 weeks then.
All right. Yeah. Thanks everyone. Well, and go follow Donatello and have a great day. Thanks a lot, guys.